Now, his patron, Caroline, died young and horribly in 1737. There's an extraordinary drawing of her on her deathbed, and she died of an umbilical hernia. This is a condition that she'd been suffering in secret from the birth of her last daughter, little Louisa, her eighth child, who was born in 1728, I think that it was. And ever since then, Caroline had had this hole that had opened up in the wall of the muscles of her stomach. It's a very painful condition. And this is why we hear so much about Caroline's obesity. It was because it would have been agonising for her to wear tight stays around the middle. And therefore she didn't, and therefore she looked like she had a rounder figure than other Georgian ladies. In 1737, what happened was that a little loop of her bowels or her intestines popped out through this little hole in the wall of her stomach, and she collapsed. It was very, very painful. At first, the doctors weren't allowed to examine her, because this, of course, was contrary to the dignity and the privacy of a queen. An illusion is generally maintained that royal bodies never experience illness or any of the other very human problems that the rest of us have. Eventually, though, when Caroline was clearly in a very bad way, the doctors were allowed to examine her, and they discovered that this was what had happened to her, and they decided to operate. Unfortunately, this is a terrible decision. What the doctors should have done is to push that little loop of bowel back in through the hole and sew it up. That's what they would do today. She would have survived that. But what the Georgian doctors did instead was to cut it off. And then the next day, they cut off a little bit more as the bowels gradually began to ease their way through the hole in the stomach wall. This went on for 9 days, this daily operation on the Queen's stomach. Oh, it was a horrible, horrible way to die. And it's so ironic, it really upsets me that Caroline was killed by her doctors, because she had been such a terrific supporter and advocate for medical science. She, for example, had had her own children, the princes and princesses, inoculated against the disease of smallpox, entirely contrary to established medical opinion. But she looked at the evidence for this new idea that had been imported from the Turks. She assessed the evidence, she decided that the evidence was in favour, and she put her own children through this process, which to outsiders looks completely counterintuitive and balmy. Why would you make a well child sick? But she did this in the hope that they will get immunity to smallpox. Now, after poor old Caroline's death in that bed there, in that sketch, nobody quite knew what to do with Peter the Wild Boy. So he was sent to live on a farm in Berkhamsted. And there, Peter the Wild Boy was made to wear this iron collar. And this, to me, I said before, he's such a Georgian figure to me. I think that he somehow stands for his age, in that he was seen wearing an iron collar, just like a slave would have been in Georgian England too. And this is the great tension at the heart of the Enlightenment. People used Peter to explore all kinds of new issues and problems and solutions, to undermine some of the old religious certainties, some of the old order of the world. And yet they still did not treat him as a human being. They did not extend him that level of equality, nor was that extended to the Africans, whose slave labour fuelled the amazing explosion of the Georgian economy. And yet, having said that, from this side, the collar looks like a torture object, doesn't it? You can see where it locks around his neck. But if I show you the other side, there was a kind thought here. There was something paternalistic about the collar, because Peter had a habit of wandering off from the farm. Sometimes he went a really long way. He went to Norwich, for example. And the collar has his name and address on it so that people could bring him home again. I don't know if you can make it out, but it says, Peter the Wild Man from Hanover, if found, please return to Farmer Fenn at Berkhamsted. Look at that. And Peter went on living into old age at Berkhamsted. And the people of the town grew very fond of him. And when he died, as you can see here, they got him his own headstone. Can you make that out? It says, Peter the Wild Boy, 1785. When I visited Peter's grave in the church at Berkhamsted, I came across a very curious phenomenon. I noticed that there were flowers on his grave. And I went into the church and I asked the flower ladies if this was something that they had organised. And they told me a lovely story. They say that Peter the Wild Boy always has a bunch of flowers on his grave. Someone puts one there every week, and it's nothing to do with the church or the flower ladies or anything official at all. One of the ladies said to me something that I've always remembered. She said, people round here think that Peter should be remembered. And so he should be, shouldn't he? Thank you very much for listening to me.